Good morning. Fantastic day, beautiful day. Great to see you here. There are so many things that we have to be grateful for in this world today. One of those is the opportunity to worship together and to honor God, to honor His Son Jesus, to honor each other by speaking as we have to each other in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We've just got a great day today, a great blessing today, and then on top of that, to honor fathers. We've had a great number of fathers in this congregation that have meant much to their families, meant much to the church, and we have those in this building today. Thank you for the role that you play. There are many, many times in my lifetime with my children that I've had to apologize to them for being who I did not need to be, who I did not want to be. I've mentioned to you before, I've spanked one child when another child deserved it. I've done a number of things as a dad, poor judgments, but I have always, I think, expressed love to my children, concern for them, hope for them, tried to guide them and encouraging them in this topic that is on the screen in front of you. As dads, there is absolutely nothing greater that you could teach your children. Nothing greater than you could teach your children than to love the Word of God. Psalm 119 is just full of encouragement for us to love the Word of God. And these passages here are special in a way, special because I've been looking at them and reading them over and over again, studying them a little bit to think with you about what God says to us about loving His law. If you had to stand up and say to the Lord, "Oh, how I love your law," that sounds pretty stuffy, doesn't it? Oh, how I love baseball. Oh, how I love football. Oh, how I love fishing. Oh, how I love sleeping. Oh, how I love, and you can fill in the blanks with anything that you love. We don't usually say it like that. I might say something, "Richard, man, I love baseball. I have played a lot. I enjoy watching." Or we might say, "Man, I love playing golf. I love going into the woods to find my ball and finding 10 other balls. I love that." We talk in terms of loving things. How much do we talk to our children about, "Oh, man, I love God's Word"? Can't teach them anything better than to love God's Word. We don't know exactly who wrote this psalm. Many people, I'd say most, probably think David did. But it's one of those psalms that there's some question about. But whoever wrote it had a great point of view. And what I want you to do this morning is ask, is it your point of view? The psalmist said, "It's my delight. I delight in the law. In it, I find wonderful things. It's like music to my ears when I hear the Word of God. It's better than silver or gold. It's like finding great treasure. What a great blessing it is to read from someone who loves the Word of God the way this writer loved the Word of God." Dads, we need to be here with our children. We need to help them come to see that really is music to our ears. Music is one of the driving forces in our world today. If you take a look at people who have heroes, some of them are going to be musicians. Music to our ears. What is it that makes music to our ears? Needs to be in part the Word of God. There isn't anything wrong with loving some secular music. We enjoy it. God gave us that ability to develop it and to use it and to enjoy it. Nothing wrong with that at all. But the Word of God needs to be music to our ears. There's nothing wrong with having a good job and making a good living and putting money in the bank and saving for retirement or buying something that you really need or even something that you really want. Nothing wrong with that at all. But we need to make sure we teach our children that what you find in the Word of God is a treasure far greater than anything you could ever go to the bank and get, far greater than anything you could ever inherit in terms of financial resources. We need that treasure. This morning in these passages, I want to share with you four reasons to love God's Word. One is superior wisdom. We like to be thought of as being wise, don't we? We like to be in the know. Look at what the psalmist says here in verse 100. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it's ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. When we start looking at what God says to us through this writer of the book of Psalms, there are three things that he's just said. One is, if you want superior wisdom to your enemies, you need the Word of God. And let me tell you, the enemies in America are growing in a spiritual sense because the numbers of people who are rejecting the Bible as God's Word, that's growing. The numbers of people who are attending church worship services like this one are lessening. There are so many ways in which our enemies are growing, but if you want superior wisdom and you want your children to have superior wisdom to the enemies of God, and that ought to be our main enemies, those who disavow God, who disavow God's message and His will, His desire for our lives. You want to be superior to them, you love the Word of God, and you read it, you study it, you know it, and you use it to make decisions in your life. Superior to the wisdom of my teachers. Some of my teachers worship here, teachers that I had in college. One of my teachers all the way back to Oklahoma Christian worships here with us. Teachers at Fried Hardeman worship with us. It's not reasonable for me to think about having superior wisdom to them because these are men who have all the qualities that we need. You see, because they were teaching me about God's Word. They were teaching me education in view of God's Word. And they have the qualities that all of us need. But there are a lot of teachers in the world who are teaching us to love secular music more than we love God, to love athletics more than we love God, to love the kinds of things the world offers in terms of travel and food and fun more than we love God. You want superior wisdom to the enemies and to the teachers that will take you away from God. You get a hold of the Word of God and you read it and you study it and you use it. There's some folks in this room that are pretty old. I've seen you get up out of your chairs. I mean, you look like you need a grease job. There are several of us who are older, and being old doesn't necessarily mean you are wise. We've got some elderly people in this room that are full of wisdom because they're full of God's Word. The psalmist here says, you want superior wisdom to the average person of age out there, to the average older person out there. You know God's Word. You read it, you study it, you obey it, you live it in your life every day. That's going to demonstrate wisdom that the world cannot comprehend. Superior wisdom, a great reason for knowing God's Word. Boy, I wish I knew what to do sometimes. I wish I knew what to say sometimes. I've had to say to my children, I don't even know what to say to you right now. I try to help people sometimes in counseling. I've had to say to people, I'm just not sure what to say to you sometimes. There are people whose lives get in such a mess, and they bring those messes to you and seek your help. And they have gone through several pathways in life, and it's not easy. None of them are good. Some of them have been sinful, and they want you to give them a direct, straight line to the Lord with no consequence. Just clean my act up for me. Help me by cleaning it up. I don't have time to do a lot of changing. I don't want to do a lot of changing. You help me by fixing me. What do you say? How do you decide to help? You want superior spiritual discernment? Verse 102 begins by saying, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. That kind of a statement is disgusting to our culture because we don't want to talk about evil ways. We develop words that are soft and gentle and easy, and we need them to talk to the world about sin. For example, we've used the word in our service today that is on our sign out here for our Wednesday night series, the word broken. Is there anything wrong with the word broken? Describes us, doesn't it? But you know what we don't say is, listen, we are broken because of our sin, but God can mend us by forgiving us of our sins. We don't want to say, listen, I am a sinner and I need God's forgiveness. It's easier for the world to take this concept of brokenness for some reason. There isn't anything wrong with it, and I'm not fussing. I'm just saying we need to be thinking about God's Word, and God's Word tells us that sin separates us from God. That's the only thing in the world that's going to take you or me away from God, and that is sin. Nothing else. That's the only thing that can cause us to really be broken. I may soon hear the words, Roy, you have a cancer. I'm not broken because of cancer. I may soon hear, Roy, you no longer have a position at Freed Hardeman. I'm not broken because I don't have a position at Freed Hardeman. I might soon hear, listen, the stock market crashed and that retirement fund you have ain't there anymore. I won't be broken because the stock market crashes. The only way in this world that I can really be broken is because of sin. And when we start thinking about spiritual discernment, we need God's Word. We need the self-restraint of God's Word that this passage talks about. I hold my feet back from every evil way. You and I say, I know I shouldn't do this, or I know I shouldn't say this, and then we go ahead and do it and say it anyway. We're not looking at the self-restraint that God talks about. We're not looking at using God's Word. We know what it says. It says, don't do that. And we say, I know I shouldn't do it, but, and we forget about the self-restraint that's needed to be who we need to be. I hold back from every evil way. And then there's personal submission. Doesn't matter what age you are, if you're in this room and you're a Christian, there is no person in this world that can force you to do what is right. Personal submission. You've got to choose it. The psalmist said, I do not turn aside from your rules. Everybody's going to have to come to the decision, I am not going toward sin. I am going to submit to the rules of God. You want superior wisdom? You want superior spiritual discernment? Use the Word of God. Here's something we want. Man, we want life to be fun. I remember being a teenager. I wanted to go from one thing to another that was fun. And my mom was always trying to get me off the ballpark out of the ballpark, off the basketball court, off of the football field, into the yard to rake leaves. We had pine needles all over the place when I first moved to Memphis. We had to keep those things raked up. My mom was always trying to get me to do things that was not fun. They were not fun, if you're an English teacher, excuse me. She wanted me to do things I needed to do instead of what I wanted to do. That's what God tells us. But when we do, lasting joy. Verse 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. In the day of the psalmist, honey was like our sugar or our sweetener. In fact, there's probably some folks in this room old enough to remember when your dad and mom, or maybe you, talked about using honey to sweeten coffee or some other drink. Honey was the universal sweetener. God's word ought to be the universal sweetener of our lives. As we ponder, think about, contemplate, the Bible uses the word meditate a lot. As we do that on the words of the Bible, one by one, phrase by phrase, verse by verse, they become sweet to us. They can help us see life in a better way. And when we see life in a better way and behave in a better way, oh, we're happier. When we are walking in line with the rules wherever we are, we don't have to worry about any problems. We don't have to worry about any discipline. We can be happy. Once the Word of God becomes sweet to you and me, we become sweeter people. I love being around sweeter people. I was just sitting with Miss Elsie's family the other day, and we were just talking about how sweet she was. Nita and I stood up before her, over her, and her eyes opened, and Nita said, blink if you understand us. And that sweet girl blinked. We talked to her a little bit about how much influence she'd had and how sweet she's been. And she just wanted to say, oh, you're crazy, I'm sure. But she blinked. What a sweet, sweet lady, full of the Word of God. Her family today knows that, understands that, and appreciates that. And that's the way every one of us ought to go to our grave, full of the sweetness of the Word of God. But every one of us needs to develop a holy hatred, a holy hatred. Look at verse 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. We know by listening to God, understanding God, where false ways are going to lead us. There is a way that seems right unto death. Right, there's a way that seems right unto man, rather. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. You see, we listen to man. It sounds so good. We are great reasoners. We are great thinkers. We can just overcome any obstacle. And if we aren't careful, we'll push God's word away and use the wisdom of God. And we begin to love our way of thinking that sort of sets aside God's word, we think, without really setting aside God's word. But every false way. We have an attitude sometimes that anger is a great blessing. Every now and then it could be, but most of the time when we use anger, we have stepped across the line. We use anger for a lot of the wrong reasons, and we justify it if we aren't careful. We use not helping people for the wrong reasons, and we justify it. We need to hate every false way. Those are false ways if we're living life like that. Loving the Word of God doesn't make us just sweeter. It makes us stronger so that we can withstand the temptations and trials and problems that life brings to it. As God's Word grows sweeter, every false way is going to become more repulsive to us. And we're going to want to be more like the Christ. Charles Spurgeon was a very famous preacher, and he listed 8 marks of true love for God's Word. Look at them. He's not God. He's not the Son of God, but he's a man who read a lot from God's Word. And as he lists these things, think about your role with regard to the Word of God. Do you have reverence for God's authority? Do you have admiration for the holiness of God? Do you have jealousy? Do you just really desire to have it more than anything else? The honor that the Word of God holds and brings to you? Do you have respect for everything it says? Do you have diligence in the study of it? Do you have an eager desire to obey it? Can you not wait to obey the Word of God? And are you ready to praise the Word of God to the world? And do you have a great desire to share what it offers to us? Four great reasons to love the Word of God. And this morning as we close, we want you to think about your desire to obey the Word. Because you see, coming to worship is a great thing. It's a great blessing. We need worship. We need to honor God. We need to encourage each other. We need all of that. But unless we practice what the Word of God says, it won't make any difference at all. We need to obey. And there may be somebody in this room that needs to respond to God's call. It's not Roy's call. It's God's call. You may have studied and you know God teaches you to repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized into Christ. Be buried with Christ, in fact. That's a great opportunity. Are you eager, if you know that's what you're supposed to do, are you eager to obey? Or if you're a child of God that's out of step with God, with His will, out of step, would you want to turn from that? Are you eager to turn from that back to the Lord, being the child of God that you want to be? I've said to my children, I'm not the father I need to be sometimes. We need to say to God, I'm not the person that I need to be. And if you want to say that with a public response this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee call.